Welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. The three keys to your success is just moments away. Here's your host, Brian Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mind Body Business Show. I say this every single show and every single time. It's absolutely true. I am so extremely excited for this very show. We have one of the most expert individuals I have ever met in my life when it comes to technology. And I love the niche that this man is in because it's something I honestly didn't even know existed until just a few months ago. And I'm excited that it does exist, number one. And number two, he has solved a crucial, crucial issue for people like you, entrepreneurs, marketers. We are going to get into it and get deep and get ready for a wonderful ride. The Mind Body Business Show. What is that all about? It's about the three pillars of success. In my time on this earth, I've learned by following those who are successful, and I realized there are patterns that developed for each of these successful individuals. One being mind, otherwise known as mindset. How to reprogram your mind for better, to serve you better. There's a lot written on the subject, and we might touch on it tonight. Body, it's about nutrition, eating right, exercising on a regular basis, just moving, getting up and moving. And then business, that's a multifaceted arena, and we're going to go into some of that tonight. And that would be marketing, sales, team building, systematizing, and we're going to get in deep into technology and automation and how to really fine-tune your business. I'm trying not to give away the best part. So very, very soon, I'm going to bring on the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Chris Lang. And one of the things I love to talk about is the importance of reading. It's something I learned many years ago. I was actually told by another multimillionaire in his office while we were signing a contract, the importance of reading. And I decided to ignore his advice. And thankfully, years later, I met another person who had become my mentor and worked with him for several years, spoke from his stage, taught his students. And at one point in his house, I saw him walking around wearing a headset, headphones. And this is some years ago as well. And I remember saying, "Hey, man, what are you up to?" And he says, "Me? I'm just listening to a book." I said, "Wait, what? Listening to a book?" It was a new concept back then. Hang with me. And so he said, "Yeah, I'm listening to a book." I said, "Oh, my gosh. I don't like reading because I get fatigued with my eyeballs. So I thought, I'm going to give this a shot." I began reading by listening to books. And holy moly, it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. And the other thing I found out was by listening, and I listened through something called Audible, very, very popular. There's an app that you listen to it from. I do it on my phone in my car. So it's a university on wheels. And you're able to tap a little bitty icon called a bookmark. And I didn't realize that that was available right away. And once I saw it and realized the power of it, like, my gosh, all I have to do is tap this icon, and that means I can go directly back to the spot I found to be of interest the first time I listened to it. And so now I don't have to reread entire books. I can just go back and review the bookmarks, just jump right to them. And so that being said, we're going to segue over into a segment I affectionately call, you guessed it, bookmarks.
Bookmarks. Born to read. Bookmarks. Ready. Steady. Read. Bookmarks. Brought to you by ReachYourPeakLibrary.com.
Yes, ReachYourPeakLibrary.com. And real quickly, for those of you watching live right now, and those of you that are maybe listening after the recording is over or watching the recorded video, just relax and take notes. And what I mean by that is stay with us because you don't want to miss Mr. Lang when I bring him on right after this segment. He's coming on in just a minute, literally. So take notes, take out a pad of paper or open up something on your computer or tablet or wherever you're watching or listening from and just take notes and stay with us. In other words, don't go to the resources that we are going to be giving you during the show. Take notes, stay with us because it all happens in the room, as they say. So stay here with the meeting. So, ReachYourPeakLibrary.com, real quick. That is a collection of books that I have personally read, that I have personally vet to say that they have had profound effect on me and my life. And so there's the list. You see it. And if you scroll through, there's about 40 or so in all. I'm way behind in updating this site, but these are a great place to start. I literally put this together for you, the entrepreneur, that is looking for a filtered set of books that they know that at least one person got impact from. And that's just to save you time. Otherwise, I always go to books that are recommended. Many are recommended to me and to our audience on this very show. I've read, in fact, the book I'm reading right now is from a recommendation from a past guest expert. And so what I want to do is just briefly, real quick, play back a snippet for you. And that is from a book, I love this book, called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. Now, this snippet is literally a minute in length. So go ahead and get those pens ready, that notepad ready, and just take notes. We're going to listen to Stephen R. Covey for just a minute, and then we're going to come back and bring on our guest expert. I cannot wait. Here we go. Take notes. Listen close.
Our basic nature is to act and not to be acted upon. As well as enabling us to choose our response to particular circumstances, this empowers us to create circumstances. Taking initiative does not mean being pushy, obnoxious, or aggressive. It does mean recognizing our responsibility to make good things happen. Over the years, I have frequently counseled people who wanted better jobs to show more initiative, to take interest and aptitude tests, to study the industry, even the specific problems the organizations they are interested in are facing, and then to develop an effective presentation showing how their abilities can help solve the organization's problems. It is called solution selling and is a key paradigm in business success.
I love that, solution selling, and it's all about taking initiative. And it's about going out and doing action. It's often, you know, a lot of people will learn, but many people will fall short and not do. And there's actually three components: learn, do, and then the ultimate is teach. So when you read a book, you're learning. Then when you put it into action, you're doing. And then when you come back and teach it, now you're really integrating it completely. And I love that little snippet by Stephen R. Covey. Speaking of loving little snippets, we've got a big snippet coming up, a big section coming up on this show right now. I can't wait. We're not going to wait any longer because I want to bring on our special guest expert. Hang on. Here he comes.
It's time for the guest expert spotlight. Savvy, skillful, professional, adept, trained, big league, qualified.
And there he is, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Chris Lang. How are you doing, Chris, my buddy?
Great, Brian, great.
Fantastic. Great. Chris is coming all the way from Colorado. I'm in Southern California. By the way, share some love, give us some likes if you're on Facebook. If you're on Periscope, click the heart. I think that's what's over there. We're all over the place. We're on many different platforms as we speak right now, 9 in all, going live. So comment, ask questions, and if you're one of the lucky chosen ones, we'll give you a shout out and bring your question up live on the show. Real quick, I want to introduce this man. Before I forget, stay on with us live to the very end, and you will have the opportunity to win a 5-night stay at a 5-star luxury resort in Mexico. Instructions for that will be given near the end of the show, so stick with us live right now, all the way through. Real quick, let's bring up Chris. Let's let you all understand a little bit of his background. So I'm just going to introduce him, and then we'll take it from there. Does that sound cool, Chris?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Chris Lang is the most sought after and one of the most high profile email deliverability experts in the world. I'm excited already just from that. I hope you are too. He is an expert at breaking down complex deliverability issues and getting to the root of the problem. His Gmail delivery skills are second to none. I'm getting goosebumps. I kid you not. Chris's client list reads like a who's who of the brightest stars in technology and digital marketing, including ClickFunnels, LadyBoss.com, Eben Pagan, Dean Graziosi, and many, many more. For the past few years, Chris and Mark Goldman combined their superhero email powers and launched an SMTP service catering to marketers, one called send13.com, and a list hygiene service, I love that word, like none other, called Clean with a K, Clean 13. Their goal is to dominate the email intelligence landscape and help email marketers get into the inboxes of their lists. Oh my goodness, this is so, so needed, so timely, and I'm so excited that this is what you do, Chris, and you are an expert beyond experts. We're going to dive deep into the people you've worked with, the effect you've had with your technology, with your knowledge, with your expertise. Before we do that, one of the things that always makes me curious about someone as super successful as yourself, and I ask this of many of my guests that come on the show, is maybe could we dig a little deeper and kind of find out what makes Chris Lang tick? And by that I mean, you know, when you get up, you wake up, your feet at the floor, and if you're anything like me, you're a little groggy, and it takes a few seconds or maybe minutes, depending on the quality of sleep the night before, to kind of get in the rhythm. But when that starts to happen, and that motivation factor starts kicking in, you know, the drive, and you know that it's the next day and you're going to hit it with everything you've got. For you, Chris, what is it that motivates you to take on each and every day?
Well, bottom line is I want to be the best at what I do. I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've never been number one before until the last 4 or 5 years. Hanging on to number one is not easy. There's always a lot of people, you know, when you're king of the hill, there's a lot of people that want your spot. I just get up every day. I mean, there's some guys go to the gym. Some guys have this meditate in the mornings. I get up and ride the wave. I get up and I start my computer, and I've got five different chat channels, of course, Skype, incoming requests, and many of my clients and I speak wholeheartedly in Facebook Messenger. I just get up and start all the applications, and honestly, I just ride the wave for that day. And that's part of being a CTO and running a software network. Some days you get up and things have gone a little off the rails, and well, then you're focused on repairing it. Some days you just go. But honestly, I have a lot of notoriety, a lot of success, a lot of people calling me the king of Gmail delivery. I kind of want to maintain that for a while, and I want to take that success, I want to take that notoriety, and I want to turn it into money in the bank. And as a hardcore businessman, that's the way I look at running your business. Is you shouldn't be doing anything that doesn't make you money. So the beginning of my day starts with dealing with anybody that needs me. There may be fires. There may be problems. There may need to be questions that need to be answered. And when I wake up in the morning, there's no rolling over and going back to sleep, because I need to get up and find out if any of these things exist. It's a very different type of world than, say, an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs really get to enjoy the whole thing a whole lot more. When it comes to running a software network, you know, a lot of my day is just spent just monitoring the network, making sure everything's flowing well. You know, I mean, some days it just runs for 12 hours a day. Some days you're like, everything is perfect. That's what gets me up every day. It's number one, you know, producing a legacy for my family. It's going to endure after me. Secondly, you know, making sure my network, my software, my email platform, and all my clients are happy. After that's all settled and done, then I get to move on with my day.
Absolutely love that. Producing a legacy first and foremost. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people might look at a few things that were said, like it sounded like money was very important. And duh, of course it is. Many people might look and say, well, gosh, he's so money-centric. Well, here's the thing to anyone who might be thinking that. If Chris Lang makes money, he can serve more people. If he serves more people, what he does for people helps them to make more money. So it makes nothing but sense. I want Chris Lang to make mountains and mountains and mountains of money so that more people can utilize his services, So he has that wherewithal to reach out to more, to do his marketing, to find more people that need his services. I didn't know he existed just several months ago, and this is one of, he is the premier email deliverability expert on the entire planet, ladies and gentlemen. And this is phenomenal. I'm so excited that we get to meet and that you're on this show, and I appreciate you for being here, by the way. What is the latest project that you're working on? Like right now, what are you focusing on, and what are you trying to get out to the market at this moment or improve on that?
Well, any email platform has huge automations behind it within delivery, has huge backgrounds of data. So we're leveraging the data that we built up after the last 2.5 years of running an SMTP network, 2 years of running our once private Clean 13 software. You know, and we're looking to make deeper inroads into helping people with delivery. That's something that's very rare on an email platform, being actually able to get advice back on delivery and quickly target a problem. Oh, all my emails are going to spam. And we're going to talk about this a lot to come here tonight. And that's the fact that a lot of that weight of determining where your emails are placed are not the email platform so much anymore. It has much more to do with the from address domain and you as a sender, and of course your subscribers and how they interact, and honestly how much they like you. So we're making deeper inroads into proving that is occurring or not occurring to our clients. We don't have users at Clean 13. We don't have users at Clean 13. We have clients. And I deem, you know, my $20 a month client to be just as important as, you know, the $2,000 a month big sender. But being able to help these people really makes me happy, because there was a lot of years when I started that it was kind of like, you know, you press send and you just wondered where the email went. Now that I know where it goes, I can actually help people. So there's a good point. I'm not so much a money hog. You know, I'm after freedom and I'm after the time to be able to help people. We're trying to build more automation into our email platform to be able to give people that feedback and them to be able to contact support and support quickly give them documentation that shows them the truth.
Fantastic. Goodness sakes. I've got writer's cramp already. I am actually taking notes. So for those of you that are watching and listening, I implore you to do the same thing. Yes, this is a recorded video after it's over, and I have it, and we can always go back to it. But writing notes is a very powerful thing to do and get in the habit of. But my goodness, leaving a legacy, you said it a couple times, you love helping people, and you said that helping people makes you happy. And that's what I find as one of the common denominators of a successful business person. Successful people love to help others. Are there successful people that don't care about others and wouldn't help them? Yes, of course there are. But the ones that come on my show all tend to have this wonderful heart of loving to help others. And I'm so happy that you do what you do, Chris, because there's a bit of controversy brewing. It's been around a while, and we're not talking anything deep, but it's that of text-based marketing against email marketing. In other words, email marketing, I keep seeing it all over the place. Email marketing is dead. You know, all your emails going into spam. Well, that's why we have Chris Lang here to show us how to keep it out of there. And it's not deliverable. Nobody reads it. Nobody opens it. Well, I don't think that's true. I know personally people that still utilize email lists primarily and are very, very, very successful with it. And so wanted to put that out there. What has been something that you've encountered along those lines as you're promoting this service and providing this service to others who might be suffering with their email deliverability?
Well, certainly. I mean, this is the way I think about Gmail. Gmail is very different from any other email platform. And Gmail has really exploded within the footprint of your list. If you haven't looked into that, you definitely should. But let's talk about, you know, how I think about Gmail. And I call these things Chris Lang mind experiments. It's an easy way not to talk tech, but to kind of get across how I view email as a very machine learning based algorithmic environment. I'm going to be going deeper into such later on. I've actually got some secrets, a secret speech that's coming later this year that's going to be rather interesting. But let's talk about Gmail, because right now, Brian, Gmail is having a sales contest. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, so first place, it's the primary tab. That you win. First place, you're going to get twice as many opens as you will other places. Like second place, the Gmail promotions tab. The Gmail promotions tab, second place. Know what you get when you go to Gmail promotions tab? A set of steak knives. Third place, Gmail spam folder. At this point, Gmail has basically fired you as the salesman for your own product. And this is how I think of Gmail, is it's a sales contest. You've got to be the great salesman that gets to the primary tab. You don't want to be in a promotions tab. And many times you'll climb out of the spam folder, as many of my clients do, just to end up in the promotions tab, which is darn near just as stiff. Don't want steak knives, do you?
Nope. Great analogy. I love it. Yeah, and the thing is I didn't realize. So I've actually encountered and found that my emails aren't making it through to more often than not. And it's like really discouraging, because these are people that literally opted into a list organic. They came onto my website, they put their name, they put their phone number, some of them, many of them, and their email address. And they still don't get my emails delivered to their inbox, which drives me nuts, because it's getting harder and harder to get it to their inbox. And so that I would imagine is something that you are expert at helping to improve for those that are doing this for business.
Certainly. I mean, within my private business, I'm an email delivery consultant as well. I only take on clients that are in Gmail spam, because the value that I can return in that position is 10 times anything else. And it's far easier for me to fix spam than it is all the other variables that could cause placement in the other two tabs, primary and promotions. But let's talk about what Gmail's doing too here to define the space before we go any farther. So you think of your list as your list. You own it. These people opted in. They are your people. The way Gmail looks at it is these are really their people. These are their Google users. These are not just Gmail accounts. They're Google accounts. They connect to Google Docs. They may connect to YouTube. Certainly, you're seeing, you know, unique customizations for over a decade now in Google search, again, connected to who you are in your Google account and your likes and preferences. The Google array is vast. We used to call it the Google grid. It was so large. There are so many applications. But these are Google's users. You're just renting space in the inbox by being a good salesman. And you really have to look at it that Gmail doesn't think of this as being your list, even though we all do. I certainly do. I worked hard to build a list many times in the last 20 years. But Gmail doesn't look upon the fact that you have permission as permission to be in any of those three various tabs or folders. You have to make some effort to get there. It's not like the old days where email was easy. You either went to the spam folder or you went to the inbox. Today, you may go to the inbox one day. You may go to the promotions tab the next. You may be in spam another. In fact, that mind-bending moment when I came to see that Gmail is not a static set of filters, but highly algorithmic and predictive. Once I started to think about that, then I knew I had to be back in the email business full-time, and I had something new to say that nobody else had talked about.
Fantastic. And we were talking just before we came on live, you and I were talking back and forth, and I wanted to bring up another thing that I thought was very, very interesting and intriguing, and that was something that related to a recent launch that you were talking to me about a couple of main big websites, but one in particular, mastermind.com. If you wouldn't mind kind of going back over that with our audience and letting them know, you know, what the mindset was going in, and then who's involved, if it's okay with sharing.
Sure.
And
public information.
And then the results that came from the end. What happened? That would be phenomenal, because it blew my mind. This is amazing stuff.
It really surprised me too. So Dean Graziosi has been a client of mine for 2 years. Together, his team and I learned a lot through heavy split testing and ESP level software analysis, testing mostly the Gmail promotions tab. A lot of what we know factually about the Gmail promotions tab came from my work with his team there. It's a great team, smart guys. At times they challenge me, which makes me better. So we were coming into the mastermind.com launch, and I was not exactly the hands-on guy with the delivery. I was, you know, what I truly am, which is an email delivery architect. So we changed some things about the way the email launch was going to be handled. Now, we already had Dean in great shape. Mastermind.com was a rather new domain. So we made some adjustments. The launch went extremely well. When you talk about email being dead, this launch was 100% based on email. I mean, there is plenty of creatives and copy that affiliates could use, things that they could use in their Facebook ads. This was a really great launch, and they really held their affiliates' hands and provided them with all the tools that they needed. But really, you went to the site and you opted in. This was definitely an email-based launch in 2019, and they're not going to tell me how much money was made, but a lot of people have asked me and made some guesses. It was definitely a lot, and it was one of the biggest launches we've ever seen, and I was proud to be just a small part of the team. But what was really interesting at the end is the way we handled the launch, very quiet, behind-the-scenes pre-setup. The delivery on both all the domains and the IP addresses at Miripost, where the mails were sent from, and mastermind.com, and on, the delivery indicators actually went up at the end of the launch. Mm. Have we ever seen a launch that didn't get so many spam complaints from seeing endless affiliates pounding your inbox that delivery went up? That truly amazed me. I've never quite seen anything like delivery going up. Of course, when you're talking about lots of great content from Tony Robbins and Dean, and then Russell chiming in is the color guy behind the initial videos. It was such a great, happy, confidence-filled launch. I think that had a lot to do with the delivery going up as well. In fact, Dean's own list is in better shape than it's been in a year because of such a terrific launch that was handled so professionally, I thought. Does that answer all your questions?
Yeah, that was hitting it on the head. The part that, you know, well, two things. It was a large site, a large launch. Some pretty prominent names were involved, and that it actually improved after a lot of email was being sent out, which is pretty awesome. There's a guy named Christopher. Pardon?
Affiliate email. This is where complaints come from with mailbox providers, as we call free email box providers, mailbox providers, Gmail, Microsoft, AOL, Yahoo. And, you know, when you get a spam complaint cast on an email and the link in the email is actually pointed towards mastermind.com, that's where you see declines in delivery in these big launches, because you're getting spam complaints because affiliates are, of course, pounding every inbox, a lot of overlap. When that domain appears through whatever redirect link, et cetera, you know, Gmail knows the destination. There is no masking your links and Gmail not knowing where the actual link destination is on a click. That usually hurts the domains in question. And mastermind.com being a new domain and its reputation actually rising in measurement with my software, that's truly amazing.
That's cool. Thank you for further clarifying, because that even makes it more remarkable. Because I know from experience using links like shorteners and things where things just don't get delivered as well as they normally would. Like Facebook itself will filter things out, and you won't get as much visibility. We have a gentleman by the name of Christopher Diltz who's been watching, and right at the onset, he said, Chris Lang is the Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi rolled into one of email delivery for marketers. That's phenomenal. And then he does have a question, so I wanted to pose that. He said, what about the updates folder? He said so many of his emails to clients end up there too, and they are not being opened.
Sure, and great to hear from you, Christopher. Great question. So Gmail by default these days comes with a primary tab, a promotions tab, in the spam folder is actually buried down in the left side. You actually have to expand to find it. That's a dangerous situation. It's not really something we've seen before. But when you enable more tabs than the default three, you may see some spurious placement across them. Well, the way we look at things, Christopher, is most civilians, okay, you know, us marketers, we're a little different. We tend to try to be more organized. You know, we try to try all the options to see what's there and how things work. But what we're talking about here is civilians. In when civilians use software, they never change the defaults. So I go on the assumption that all of my subscribers are only using the primary tab, the promotions tab, and of course, Gmail has the dreaded spam folder waiting for us. Now, why they go to these different folders, I don't think is something you really have to worry about, because the largest part of your list that is using tabs and may not have turned off the social and the promotions tab, they only have the three that come by default. And I wouldn't waste a moment worrying about placement outside of primary promotions and possibly spam folder appearances.
There you have it. Awesome. I mean, nobody knows better than Mr. Chris Lang for sure. And that's another thing is, we want to make sure every single email we send is always read. And I don't think that's ever going to be the case unless you find another glorious machine learning or AI approach to make that happen. I love your advice not to fret if it's a few, for sure. Definitely. My goodness. I wanted to dive a bit deeper. This is just me talking because I love this stuff, is into your service called Clean 13, if we might. Could you give our listeners a quick overview exactly what that service does? And I'm just going to shamelessly plug on your behalf to give you the opening to plug. Why would people want your service? What type of business owners is this targeted for? Those kinds of things, if you wouldn't mind expanding on Clean 13.
Well, to begin with, we my partner Mark Goldham and I had built Clean 13 2 years ago. And we never built it with any interest in making a public self-serve application. We built it because the other services that we were already using for our big ticket clients, and believe me, Mark charges a lot more than I do. And we felt that we were just not serving our clients well enough, having them use other services. So we built Clean 13 privately for our own use. We never built it to make money off of. And we became so busy doing list scrubs privately through our manually available software to Mark and I, that Mark finally said, I'm just going to make the thing public. So, Chris, you could get back to being a CTO and running our networks like you're supposed to. So we opened the thing up as public beginning of 2018. We feel it's the most evolved list scrub software there is. We own an ESP, so we have a lot of data and a lot of knowledge coming back to us. So what makes you Clean 13 unique? That's what we really have to get to here. So many list scrubs, especially less expensive ones, tell you that you've got good, bad, and maybe. So we don't tell you that anything's good or bad. We give you 13 different segments. Oddly enough, Clean 13, 13 segments. So we tell you what the email address is made of. And then you can go on to make decisions whether or not you want to use that segment or not use that segment. Certainly, here's a real big heads up, and this is something no one has probably ever said publicly, and I'm just now going to start saying it. Removing non-engagers is not scrubbing your list. Why? Because spam traps, bots, and possibly undeliverable email addresses that somehow don't bounce out all engage with your list. They open emails, spam traps open emails. Spam traps click links. Otherwise, how do they know to blacklist the destination link in an email that they feel is spam? So removing unengagers. Well, of course you need to do that. It lightens your list. It saves you money, and you send faster, and it makes Gmail happier with you. I think everybody has run into at some point being told by the compliance department, if you haven't already done it at your email platform, you need to remove some unengagers. You can't be mailing people to have it open in an email in a year and a half. But that's not scrubbing your list. And most people think that, oh, spam traps only register a ding against me if they get an email from me. Well, actually, spam traps, and especially Chinese click bots, they're usually labeled bots, and some other emails that I'm not going to go into the secret sauce of, but these emails highly engage. They open an email, the bot reads the body copy to footprint it for spam, and they click the link. The bot clicks the link so it can get through the redirects into the destination where it's actually going. These highly malicious and detrimental emails, let's call them detrimental emails, actually come back as super engagers. And you never remove them because they open every email. So these are some of the things that we find. We don't tell you have to remove anything from your list. We tell you what your list is made of with a deep list analysis. And then you can go on to, rather than just re-importing, say, like most of you would think, gee, I scrub a list and then I import the good emails back into another list. No, instead, we want you to go back and tag the entire list with our segments. And then you can decide to make decisions on what to keep and what not to keep. There's many segments that are returned as negative, and you think you would want to remove them, but you might find out that they are decent engagers. They just happen to be negatively labeled. Now, here's what's really interesting. We have a segment called complainers. These are people that are known to cast more than 50 spam complaints on legitimate emails that they signed up to. All of my emails come back as a complainer. Now, that's interesting because I am a complainer and I own an ESP and I have many friends within the anti-spam community. I should be labeled as a complainer, but you should not be, say, removing everything unless you've got a cold old list, a list you're trying to revive, a list maybe you're moving to a new ESP where you want to impress the delivery department, the compliance department, get on the good IPs. Then you might want to only mail, you know, the verified 100% glowing emails that we love and tell you we love. If you've got an established list, well, you don't want to cut the list off at the knees. And it goes to the same thing with removing non-engagers, which is part of list hygiene. You should be finding out what your list is made of. Trying to remove the most detrimental. Quickly removing non-engagers is what I call cutting your list off at the knees. So we're a progressive process. You learn a lot about your list. We learn a lot about the quality. You can talk to our support team, which will tell you even more if you have questions. And we teach you what your list is made of. We don't just say good, bad, or maybe. Because I don't like the word maybe.
That is quite a differentiator. 13, my goodness, instead of just good, bad, or maybe ugly could have been one. I wonder where the URL came from, the domain name, the name of the product. Just for the purpose of everyone watching, including myself, because I heard you say it a few times, ESP, that's an acronym, obviously. I'm beating my head over here trying to figure out what does that stand for in this context?
Well, an ESP is, say, like Aweber, Infusionsoft.
Oh.
Support. That's your email service provider.
It's your
email platform. Now, that term gets used a lot to identify mailbox providers. Delivery guys call them mailbox providers. Gmail, Microsoft, Yahoo, AOL, the big four. So rightly, you know, an ESP is your CRM, your email platform, mailbox providers are. And that's a good topic you brought up, too, because you know, 5-6 years ago, we were blocking free email addresses and demanding owned domains. And nowadays, your list is 90% free email providers. I mean, the game has really changed in the last 6-8 years.
It certainly has. I've noticed more and more people are starting businesses and sticking with a Gmail email address instead of utilizing their own domain name to continue the branding, which baffles me, because it's not difficult to brand your company or, you know, using your email address. And it used to be, not long ago, frowned upon. And I would do that. I'd get a card, a business card, and it's a legitimate business, and I know it is because I'm talking to this individual. And then I go down to the email, and it says Yahoo or Gmail or something else. And immediately, their authority status in my mind dropped a couple of points. Exactly. But that's not so much the case anymore, because it's just everyone seems to be using Gmail, and they throw in their business name in, you know, before the @ of their email address. And it seems to be more and more accepted these days. And I see more and more prominent individuals that are successful using them. And that's my measure, right, of success. Yes.
Staying right here. The two most used email apps there are. 60% of email being read on a phone. The two biggest apps are neck and neck, that being the iPhone and the iPad default mail app that comes with the machine, and the Gmail app, and of course Gmail in the browser. That's what has made the change. Is these apps are very powerful. They're free to install. You don't even have to configure them. You just put in your username and email, you know, your username and password, and there's your app on the phone. You're familiar with it. It's free. The spam filtering and organizational features are highly featured. I'm a dinosaur. I mean, I still run on my 17-year-old domain, keywebdata.com, and I still use Outlook. But then I need Microsoft Office to be able to run my business. I need to be able to open a million records in a spreadsheet. So I pay $100 a year for Office. And I've been using Outlook forever. And I like to divide the two. I'm kind of a privacy nut, too. I really don't trust free applications with the ability to recover my password, et cetera. So I certainly use Gmail for a lot of things. I was a beta tester in 2004. I was one of the first few people with invites. Wow. But when it comes to my email, I prefer it not be on my phone. It sits on my highly secure desktop at home behind a hardware firewall. I'm not really interested in carrying a phone around that has my life in it until I can manage to possibly shut the Google account off for the phone. So, but real people are civilians yeah. Use these glowing, easy, free apps, and they love them. And Gmail is really taken over the market. In fact, there's something I felt was so important, I've printed it out. So let me just read this real quickly, too, just to be 100% accurate. In 2015, I began talking about how I believe 40% of Gmail's indicator of quality features and filters were based on a from address domain, your from address domain. And we're talking about list mailing into Gmail. At that time, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, Gmail was maybe 40%. Today, I believe that those quality indicators of quality filtering, there's you know, 400 or 500 algorithms to make it up, but the quality filtering of your emails are more like 70% based on your from address domain. And now your list is 60 to 80% Gmail. So, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to learn to play the Gmail game. Gmail is getting bigger and bigger, and I think it's going to continue to get bigger. I'm seeing some of my clients' lists come in at 80% Gmail. Wow. And the fresher the list, the higher the Gmail percentage. Now, there's some niches that don't trust Google, don't trust Gmail. The survivalist niche is one. They come in at a much lower percent. Almost everything else comes in at 50 to 80% Gmail. So the days of ignoring Gmail and not playing the game are pretty much over at this point.
This is so engaging and so informative because for business owners like myself, I'm thinking now I got to go back and see how many of my list are Gmail email addresses. Do you also, you mentioned in the beginning, because I honestly don't know the answer to this question. You mentioned in the beginning that you're targeting those that have large Gmail user base or opt-in lists, and that those are the ones you're going in to clean. Do you also provide the service for non-Gmail host provider, emails that come in from that?
Of course. We cover every. Okay. Now, the reason ESPs become used highly is the word ISP is not a word anyone understands anymore. You know, again, this little nice device changed all that. So, I mean, we cover everything there is. I mean, we can find out the quality of your list, whether it may be a European list where they may not use Gmail so much. English speaking, not English speaking, there's some really strange ESPs that are on the Pacific Rim. That's something I'm learning more about through a client. But wherever your list is at, and this is, again, one of the strengths of Clean 13, and one of the reasons we built it is we wanted to be able to look deeply into these free email networks, these free mailbox providers, and be able to tell you about your list that's on free providers. Mm. Now, a validation service, they can't validate a free email address. I mean, Gmail has Gmail. It's going to validate. Yeah, there's no records to look up and tell you that it's real. Validation means that we look to see if the domain has email on it. If it does, it's a good address. And that's just not the way it works anymore. You've got to be able to find, you know, malicious emails. Lots of bots that opt into your list just to send you spam back, things like that. So we have lots of data we've built up over the last 2.5 years. And, you know, basically, you know, we talk to Gmail and they tell us what's going on. And I think Gmail likes us to remove absolute garbage. Things that for some reason on your the biggest weird segment that I find, Brian, is emails that are undeliverable that do not bounce out of your list. That's a really strange segment where we have some theories as to why. It's not something we could talk about. But finding these emails that do not exist and are just hanging around. At times, here's a good case in point. If I don't log into my AOL account within 60 days and possibly and or not use my email segment, let's just say I don't log into my AOL account in 60 days. It's a known fact that AOL will turn my own inbox into a spam trap within 60 days. Huh. You know, knowing that these occur, and knowing that you don't want to remove 60-day non-engagers, you want to keep your non-engager segment around 6 months to 4 months, depending on what is the sweet spot for your list. I think that every list is different. But, you know, if at 30 days, my AOL inbox has become a spam trap because I opted in 60 days ago, you probably want to find that out and remove that email address and not continue to send to an abandoned account that has been turned into a negative indicator of quality and some small percentage of a ding against your list. And that's what's really important is finding these abandoned free email provider accounts and getting rid of them, or at least suppressing. Certainly, if your delivery's bad, well, you want to find out all the lowest quality 12 possible segments, and you don't want to mail that for a while, and you just want to mail the verified to get your delivery back up and get back to the inbox. The idea that you have poor delivery and that you need to dump everything that you're doing, move to another platform and get another domain, that's just ridiculous. You want to rehab what you have because your time frame to rehab is going to be much less.
Fantastic. I can't believe this, Chris. We're 10 minutes away from the end. Can you believe that already? And that's what happens when you're having fun, talking. Right? That's great. The more talking you do, the more value people get. It's more you than anything. I appreciate this so very much. I wanted to touch real quick on, we started a little bit in the beginning about talking about texting and emailing. And I am a believer in hitting any and all avenues that work, period. I know email marketing works. We're learning why right now and how to make it work better for you. I know text marketing works. So I use them both. And, you know, having a service like Clean 13 just makes it that much more powerful. I am always about optimizing and improving and hitting, you know, if another channel comes up, another marketing platform that's different than texting an email that becomes prominent, I'm on it. Regardless of what the naysayers might say. And so I just want to bring that point up because I'm a very big proponent of, I coined a term called carpet bomb marketing. And basically, you got it right away. I can see that. It's saturating your market with your message just by, and we'll use the analogy of planes dropping leaflets, not bombs, you know, with the information as they used to back in the war days, drop posters and things. And, you know, it's about getting your message to the market that you're looking for, but saturating every nook and cranny of that market that's beneath you as you fly over. And that's what I'm talking about with mail, email, and texting. And, you know, there's Facebook Messenger, another one, very super high deliverable. You know, stats have shown it's number two behind texting. And now with email being still probably the most important list and most, what do you call it, valuable list that anyone can own is still an email list. Is that correct?
Certainly. You know, yeah. Ryan Dice said something out the other day. And I kind of wanted to use you on the show, but I didn't want to certainly rip off the source. I mean, it's public data that we've heard of. Ryan Day said that the 3 or 4 days ago, if you're on this list, you can probably find it in your inbox. The average American gets 140 emails per day. And he said that, you know, your job is cut out for you. He also said that for every dollar spent on email marketing, it's the by far the highest ROI at $45.20. And if Ryan Dice says that with all the data and businesses that he has, it's absolutely true. And again, we prove that it's great to have many roads leading to your business, but in the end, all roads should lead to your list because it's portable.
Yeah. And I'm always a person that dives into the details. So I just real quick, if you could take someone through the process like me. So we have an email list. How do we extract it to get it through your service for the quote unquote scrubbing with the 13 segments and then get it plugged back into or have those cleaned out of our list? What does that process entail? Do we export and then upload and then all that? Or is there integrations involved? How does that work real quick?
Well, certainly it depends on the email platform.
Okay.
One of the best things that, say, ClickFunnels and AdGenetics ever did was give us a nice global unsubscribe, easily usable feature. Mm. Now, that would be that platform. AWeber has suppressions and segments, just like MailChimp or GetResponse made. Now, let's say you're on a platform like Infusion. And we're all talking about existing lists where you're not moving somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to export the email address. That's all we really need.
Okay.
Some platforms like, say, Infusionsoft prefer a customer ID as well. Now, if you're not moving, you want to export those email addresses into a CSV file.
Okay.
Upload them to your Clean 13 account. Depending on the size of the scrub, it runs very fast to very differently. But now if you have the option to tag emails like a modern email platform, a one list with tags type platform, you want to run the list and then use the email address to tag the emails with one of the, it will be returned with one of those 13 segments right next to what you uploaded.
Interesting.
And so those, that's kind of the problem. You need to know the email platform that you're on. And if you're unsure, you can always just speak to our support team in live chat, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, right in the app. And if they don't quite know the situation, they'll ask me and I'll tell them. So you want to know the email platform that you're on. Okay. Are you unsubscribing? And it's different for each email platform. So we can't say one size fits all. Secondly, if you are moving the list, then you want to give us what you want back. If you have first name, last name, phone number, address, whatever in that row that you need associated with that email address, you want to upload that along with it so that when we tag all of these emails back to you in a CSV, that it's assured that you have all the data associated with each other. Yeah. That would be if you're moving the list, importing a list, reviving a cold list, whatever. at sometimes you, it might be better, depending on your email platform, to import segments of what we return. Email platforms are different. Some are more evolved. Some are catching up. Some are a little stingy still with the ability to do this. But most modern platforms allow you to tag emails. So you should export the email address and then use, based on the email address, tag the emails currently in your system. And then you can decide to mail certain segments or not mail certain segments based on the tag. Is that clear enough?
For me, totally.
Confusing concept unless you've done it hundreds of times like I have.
Yeah. I totally. I use a white label version of ActiveCampaign I call Peak Connector. And, you know, it does that. It gives you the ability to tag and does a lot of phenomenal advanced features. I was an AWeber client for over a decade, and then I kind of by accident stumbled on ActiveCampaign as a client of someone else. They used it. I looked at it and got to using it and said, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. So I did that. I switched over some time ago, and it's my number one go-to automation platform that everything else feeds into and out of. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've been with AWeber since day one, 1999. But then again, I'm a broadcaster. I don't do heavy automation. Mm. I send broadcasts to my list. It's just my old habit of how sending email to your list worked starting 20 years ago. And that's just how I run my thing. I don't have a lot of follow-up. I don't even know what I would tag people in my list with. But certainly, I mean, AWeber is still a very viable, easy-to-use platform.
Yeah.
Some people want to go to the great lengths to learn automation and really love it. And honestly, it was Ryan Dice's platform or product about 5 years ago called The Machine that changed everything and taught people about automation. Sweet. That was where everybody moved in that direction. There's broadcasting email is still the key. You've got to mail the large bulk of the list. Mm-hmm. And not use too much follow-up. Otherwise, you know, certain emails that should bounce out of the list are hanging around. And then you go to launch after not mailing the full list for 3 months. And all of a sudden you're mailing a lot of emails that simply don't exist or the inbox is full. And your delivery goes to heck and say ActiveCampaign is unhappy with you. So you've got to broadcast the list just to keep it clean through the mechanisms that are out there and have been for 25 years in email. To remove non-existent emails.
Yeah, I totally agree. You need to have discretion when emailing your list. I use it very – I don't like email time after time after time. I make them interactive, and I actually tell them, if you've already completed that step and I just made a mistake, please click the red button below to say you've done it. So I'll quit bothering you. All you have to do is click the button. And, you know, so – and I only follow up a maximum of 4 times on any one subject, waiting for them to do an action. And then I'm done. I say, this is the last time I'm going to bother you. I don't even leave the button there anymore. I say, if you don't want to respond, I'm cool. And I word it better than that. But yeah, so you just be intelligent about how you do it. Automation is just, that's my forte. It's the bomb. I love it. I'm a geek. We need to close this bad boy up. I cannot believe this. And on that note, we're going to shift gears into a question that I love to ask all of my guests. It's quite a gear shift because I'm going to ask you a very short question, Chris. And the cool thing is your answer is most likely going to be unique amongst all previous guests that I've had. It's amazing. Up till now, at least till now, no two have been the same, which I find quite intriguing. I envision at some point they will be. There will be a match somewhere, but it's really neat. Before we do that, I wanted to really quickly remind those still watching live, thank you for hanging on. We've got an amazing guest, as you know. Chris Lang has just been just pouring out the value about email deliverability. He's a genius. To enter to win the 5-night stay at the 5-star luxury resort, and you're going to love this, Chris, it's sponsored by my good buddies at powertexting.com. Yes, Jason Nass, Rhonda, amazing people. Yes, he's applauding. I love this camaraderie. So I'm going to bring up on the screen real quick how you can enter to win. So there you have it on the screen. The quickest way is to simply text on your phone, and you don't have to pull away from watching the show if you're watching on a different device. Either way, you have my, you now have my permission to go ahead and do this right now so I can monitor the entrance. So go ahead and text the word PEAK, that's P-E-A-K, to the phone number of 661-535-1624. One more time, the phone number is 661-535-1624, and you type in the word PEAK and hit send. The other option is to type out a very long URL, themindbodybusinessshow.com/vacation. It's a great URL. It's just long. themindbodybusinessshow.com/vacation. Enter now, and then we're going to come back and get with our man, our myth, and the legend, Chris Lang, and ask him that heavy-hitting question that isn't so heavy-hitting. And just to kind of level set it a little bit for you, Chris, there is no such thing as a wrong answer, as you probably have surmised. In fact, it's just the opposite. The only correct answer is yours. It's a personal question. We're not going deep into your personal life, but it is a very personal question. And I'm just curious. And what I'm, just so you know ahead of time, I'll get your permission in advance, but I'm compiling a list of all the answers, and we'll make it into a book because it's phenomenal. You'll see why in just a moment. So are you ready?
Yes, I am.
I love it. I love it. Of course you are. You're Chris Lang. All right, Chris Lang, here it comes. How do you define success?
I define success by margins, margins, and margins. There's a huge mindset within the online business world. We don't worry about margins. We're just going to make buckets of money. The bad news is this is how you find yourself next year, wondering where the money went and how you're going to pay the taxes. I know how much money I'm going to make before I do anything. And I know how much tax liability I'm going to have. And I know how much it's going to deviate by percentages back and forth. I don't do anything without already knowing exactly how much money I'm going to make.
That's actually great advice for everyone watching. Very rare, and true to form, no one before you had answered that way. I love this. This is awesome. It really comes down to, I think, in one term, is what you're saying is money management in a way, yeah? And I love how you said, I'm going to make before I even embark. It's like
I'm a CTO, not a marketer. I'm huge on margins and predictive analysis before I do anything. I have a pretty good idea what's going to happen before I take any action, be it money or anything else. So margins can be kind of a generic word.
Man, I think there's an entire course on that one topic by itself that you could teach, and people would come by the droves. I think it would be high value. If you're so inclined to go down that path at some point, I think that's a high value as well, to learn how to predict and make sure, you know, if you, once you predict it, is it going to be worth your time and effort and investment to get to that point?
Certainly.
Hugely.
Well, look at Gmail. Gmail's predictive software. They predict whether or not you're going to open the email and how much you're going to interact with it. That's the hardest part of the algorithm, the placement there.
Fantastic. And so we just announced a gift, which was winning a trip to Mexico, a five-night stay, a vacation. And by the way, it's not one of those where you go and you have to sit in and listen to a timeshare for 6 to 8 hours of one of those days. It's a legitimate your vacation stay. And it was tested by Jason Nast, one of the founders of PowerTexting.com. Personally, he took his daughter and said it was amazing. It was just going to a resort. There was nothing being sold, upsold, side-sold, downsold, nothing. He just went and enjoyed his trip. I noticed and understand that you also, Chris, have a little gift to offer our viewers and our listeners. If you don't mind, I'm going to turn it over to you once I bring up the page that we were looking at a little earlier, and go ahead and explain how people can get to it, number one, and what it is that you're providing our wonderful viewers and listeners.
Okay, so the URL there is landing.clean13.com. Landing.clean13.com with a K and a 13.com. We're going to give you 100 free credits to come kick our tires, upload the worst emails out of your list that you can imagine, and let's see what they come back as. I did this for someone the other day. She had about 50 emails that she thought were just dirt of the world and fake emails. Guess what? 2 out of 3 came back as good deliverable emails. So landing.clean13.com, 100 free credits. You get to see my CEO, Mark Goldman. Again, the man, the legend, Mark Goldman, talk about what list scrubbing and list hygiene will do for your list. Good to see Mark coming out of retirement a bit and talking to us there on a video. And you don't have to give a credit card. You don't have to sign up for anything. Just create a login and come kick our tires. And I'll be really interested to see what you do with that and what kind of data you get back.
Fantastic. And just before the show began, I personally signed up. I can't wait to give that a little whirl, see what magic you guys provide. It's so intriguing to me, and I love tech. I just love it. And real quick, one final thing, Chris, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you? Is it Facebook? Is it phone? Is it email maybe? Or a website contact? What's the best way?
Yeah, I love Facebook Messenger. Friending somebody on Facebook might not be all that successful unless you friend somebody and then send them a messenger request saying, hey, I saw you here, etc. I love Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm on it all day. I communicate with so many of my clients. But where you really want to go to kick my tires a bit, see some of my successes, see what people are saying about me is bettercalllang.com.
Ah.
Bettercalllang.com.
I'm going to check that out. Better call Lang. So there's 3 L's at one point.
Yes.
Make sure. You can tell we're detail-oriented, can't you? Ah, yes. Excellent, excellent. There it is. Bettercalllang.com. And just go there, and there's probably a call. There it is. Apply to work.
And see. It's just a quick opt-in to a list. You'll get a quick questionnaire back just telling me about your list, what your problems are, giving me a URL to log in, and that would be the first step in pursuing consulting.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, and go ahead when you do this. You was watching, listening, even if it's a recording. Go ahead and mention that you saw this on the Mind Body Business Show so that Chris has some background and knows where you came from. Not to plug the show, but just to give Chris an understanding of where you heard from him. And that always helps. Businesses love to hear where their people are coming from. Well, fantastic, Chris. I can't believe our time is up. We went over a little bit, but guess what? It's a live show and I own it and we can go as long as I want. But, in respect for you and for our viewers and listeners, we'll call it an evening. Normally I would just go another hour or two because there's so much more I'd love to extract from you, but I'll leave that to our listeners to contact you and get that information. Do definitely take him up on the free 100-credit cleaning list offer. That is phenomenal. At clean13.com, so landing.clean with a K, 13.com, and opt in there. And, yeah, Christopher Diltz is asking, what do 100 credits cover? 100 email addresses? Yes, the nod is there. And so if you have additional questions, go ahead and connect with Chris. Fill out that application there on, what was it again? Something called Lang.
Better Call Lang. Better. Yes, I am a Better Call Saul from Breaking Bad fan.
There you go. Better Call Lang. Fantastic. Well, Chris, I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for just a value-packed hour plus. I know so many people are going to get so much from this. You're going to pique so many people's curiosity that didn't watch this live that are then going to see it later. And they're going to listen to this also on podcasts. It goes to 15 different podcast platforms after the show is done airing live. It also will eventually go up on our brand new channel on demand TV through Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Both channels are up, alive, and active right now, and this show will end up there as we upload the remainder of the shows that we've done. And so you're going to be out there, my friend, and that's a good thing. We want to spread the word about Chris Lang, what he does with Clean 13 and everything else. So I appreciate you, my brother.
Oh, no, my pleasure. I certainly appreciate you for getting me to come out from behind the scenes for the first time in 3.5 years and actually get out and talk to some people instead of sitting here in my science, you know, my mad scientist labs, I might call it.
Yeah, your information and your talents and your experience deserve to be shared and known and enjoyed, because what you do is just going to help the bottom line of anyone who employs your service. And I appreciate you for doing that, for giving a service that is so badly needed that I didn't know even existed. And that there was a guy working behind the scenes for years and years and years figuring all this out. Fantastic. I'm so excited. Thank you, my friend. And for all of you watching and listening, and let's give a big hand for Chris Lang. Thank you, my friend, my sir, my the man, the myth, the legend. I'm just so excited that we had this show. I still have goosebumps under the jacket. I kid you not. This has been amazing. Thank you. We will see you all again next week on the next edition of the Mind Body Business Show. Until then, be blessed for now. We'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for watching and listening. This has been the Mind Body Business Show with Brian Kelly.